God, please anoint your word today. Let us understand it. Let us live by it. Be excited about it. Make it clear to us. Bless all of us that have come here this morning to hear from you. Speak clearly. And God, bless Calvary Chapel of Lake Forest. If it's your will that we remain here and reach this community for Jesus, provide for us, Lord. Work it out. Work out miracles laid on people's hearts, even in those in the world that do business, that to have compassion and love. We do pray that if it is your will, you would work it out, and if not, that you would work out something greater for each one of us. But most of all, we want your perfect will. Only you know what your plan is. We have today. We pray we would use it for your glory and that we would learn and grow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you caught it, but when I read verse 15, I saw he was clothed in his right hand. Did anybody catch that? I was just testing you if you were listening. That wasn't a mistake. I don't do those things. Jesus and his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee. They came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. And it was quite a crossing. Remember the storm? They were afraid. They didn't think they'd make it. You know, but with Jesus, it's a sure thing. You're going to make it. If we're alone, we won't. But if we're with Jesus, we're going to make it. And he displayed his power and calmed the sea. Remember, he said, "Peace, be still," rebuked the wind. I tried it again this week at the beach when it was a bad day. I said, "Peace, be still," and it didn't work because it's the words of Jesus. He has to say it. The area of the Gadarenes or Gergesenes, it's on the eastern part of the Sea of Galilee. It's a mixed multitude, Jew and Gentile. And so there's different kinds of people there. So they come out from a scary situation. Did you ever go from a scary situation to a scarier situation? Did you ever say to yourself, "Well, it can't get any worse than this"? I've learned not to ever say that again. Because you wake up and guess what? It gets worse. That's what happened to these guys. They came to the other side. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Jesus meets a violent, untamable man. Scary scene. Out of the tombs, it says, it's a cemetery. Place where they buried the dead. He's hanging around there. And he comes out of the tombs. Can you imagine the disciples now probably thinking, what did we get ourselves into following Jesus? One thing after another. Sometimes when you give your life to Christ, things in this world go down. I've heard people say, "Well, I was better off before I was a Christian." But you weren't going to heaven. You see, it's not a dull life following Jesus. Not like being a tax collector or fisherman like these guys were. They're all set in their jobs. Peaceful life, and now they're getting into things like this. You see a man, demon-possessed, superhuman strength. It says he had an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, a demon-possessed man. And verse 3, he dwelt among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. This man was powerful. He had this supernatural, superhuman strength. Chains couldn't even hold him. Probably bothered people, no doubt he did. You know, in Matthew tells us he was naked, violent, no one could pass by him. They stayed away from that area. But he felt at home among the tombs, evil. Verse 4, they often bound him with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. No one could calm him down or tame him. So you just had to stay away and not get near that area or near him. A strong, wild, violent man, an evil man. And then in verse 5, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So he was a cutter. And that happens due to the demons. People cut themselves. Satan takes over. He destroys, kills. These things are real. It was real then. It's real today. It's all led by Satan and the dark side. Night and day. Now, when we read about this guy here, our question would be, is there any hope for a man like this? You know, is there any hope to live a good life? To be at peace? We would probably write him off and say no. We'll just stay away. Too bad. Too evil. Too far gone. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. What we're going to see here is the natural man and the demons in him communicating. So he's possessed, but he's still in his body in the natural man, but innerly he's possessed. So there's two kinds of people here, one that's possessed and one that's the natural man. And so he saw Jesus, and he personally knew this is it. So he ran and he worshiped him. Just his natural brain told him to do that. And we see the actions of the man himself. Then we'll see the actions of the demon. You know, so he realizes who Jesus is. Because he worships him, it tells us here. There is hope for this guy. As bad as he is, there's hope for him. And he knows enough to know Jesus is the one. He can change me. He can help me. He can deliver me from this. And so right away, though, he cried out with a loud voice. Now, he's crying out in his voice, but it's the demons within him now taking over the actions and the speaking. You know, you can see people that are demon-possessed, that are gone on drugs, that are given over to evil. They can act so wild and crazy and evil, and yet there are moments where they can calm down and you can talk to them. There's two people, split personality. The spirit world is real. It's real. And it was real here. They know him. And he knows who Jesus is. And so do the demons. You see, he cried out with a loud voice, the demon, and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." They know. Your God, Jesus, the Most High God, God and Jesus, the Son of God, he rules and reigns, and they know it. And they says, we don't want to have any business to do with you. You know, why did you come over here? I implore you, don't torment us. They know he reigns. He's in charge. He's greater. You know, in James 2:19, it says, the demons believe and tremble. They're smarter than a lot of people. They believe and tremble. Why? Because they know where they're going, where they end up. We can't deny the spirit world. Evil exists. We're told in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God so that we battle it properly. And so he says in verse 7, this could have been the leader of these demons, because it says he. And he says, why do not torment me? They know their end. The lake of fire, Revelation 20. They know that's where they end up. I wish unbelievers would know that, their end. That they're going to end up in the lake of fire. For he said to him, Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Isn't it wonderful? Just like we read last week, all Jesus has to do is speak and everyone and everything must obey. Isn't that great? We sing, I will trust in the Lord. That's where my help comes from. That's it. One spot. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God can speak and change my situation today, change our situation, change the church's situation right away. Just speak and things happen. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you've been in that place where you wonder, is it ever going to change? Will it ever work out? Will I ever get help? And maybe you resigned to your situation thinking it won't. Well, just remember this. We saw Jesus speak, peace and be still last week. And what happened? There was peace in the calm in the storm. We see him today dealing with evil spirits, just saying, come out of that man, unclean spirit. And guess what? They have to come out. That's how quick our help is in the Lord as we turn to the Lord. He spoke with power and things happened. Then he asked him, what is your name? And the man answered, or the demon within him said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Oh, does that sound bad? Many demons. Enough to possess 2,000 swine. How gone was it? See, that's why this man was so wild and evil. Totally controlled by Satan. A horrible man. How awful. Legion, many. This man was opened up to evil and evil flooded in. Can this man get help? Yes, he can. The vilest offender can be saved through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? If there's people you've written off in your life and said, that'll never happen, pick it up again and start praying today for them. It can happen as soon as the Lord speaks. And then also he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Don't cast us out of this man. You know, in Luke 8:31, it says they were going to go into the abyss, the bottomless pit. They know where they're going. It seems evil spirits have to be, they don't like to be disembodied. And that's why they're crying out here. No, don't. They dread being disembodied spirits. You know, they begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. No, don't do this. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Oh, we don't want to be disembodied. We know what our end is. Cast us into the swine, into the pigs. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit and spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned by the sea. They couldn't take it. They just jumped into the sea and drowned. They became violent. We see Satan's destructive power. A lot of bad things I see going on into the world today, I immediately say, Satan has control of that person, that situation. A normal person couldn't do those things. He's destructive. Now, some people say, why did Jesus allow the unclean spirits to enter the pigs? In Leviticus 11:7, we see the swine was an unclean animal, not to be eaten by the Jews, forbidden meat. You know, it could be there were, among that multitude, there were Jews raising these pigs, making business off of them. Jesus is cleaning house. Let's get rid of that out of this area. Also, Jesus values man more than animals. You see? We should too. We should care about unborn babies or things going on. They're of more value than pets. And so I can't imagine how evil this was and how evil this man was. And so he casts him into the swine and they get drowned in the sea. Is there any help for this man? So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. So people hear about it, and they want to go see what's going on. And this is really amazing, their reaction here. Then they came to Jesus. They saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed now and in his right mind, and they were happy and rejoicing in the Lord. No, not in my Bible. Maybe in the new translation, I don't know, but it says here, they were afraid. Isn't that an abnormal reaction? This guy that prohibited them from going to certain places because he was so violent and evil and demon-possessed and chains couldn't even hold him, he's sitting there in his right mind, clothed, and they were afraid. That's an odd reaction. Were they thinking about their business loss now? Thinking about other things? They were afraid, well, is he going to clean house with me? What am I involved in? They were afraid. We see the heart of these people. Those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. The man was right-minded now, and so people relayed the story to them how it happened. And what an odd reaction again, verse 17. Then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Isn't that sad? You healed this crazy, wild guy over here. Would you please leave? We're very comfortable in the way we're living around here. We like raising swine. We don't mind demons being around. We're all involved in things around here. Would you please leave, Jesus, before you totally clean house? That's the reaction of a lot of people today. Bible tells us in John, they don't come to the Lord because they love darkness more than light. They don't want Jesus touching their life. They're afraid if someone in the house starts talking about Jesus. Hey, would you please shut up and stop bringing Jesus into this house or this neighborhood or this job place or the school? He cleans people up. And they're afraid. And they ask Jesus to leave. We see why this area was as bad as it was. Given over to evil, godless people. They asked Jesus to leave instead of asking him to stay and heal this land. We should be praying, clean up our country, Lord. Our community, our neighborhood. See, but many people don't want Jesus around. He might cause some social or financial loss for them. Many love darkness and light, hate light. Many are serving Satan today, and they don't even know it because they don't think of it as serving Satan, but they'd rather live in the flesh and away from Jesus. So there's only one other master you can serve, and that's Satan. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Leave. That's the reaction. They should have been grateful, but this man was. He was grateful and he wanted to forsake all and follow Jesus. He took the initiative and he was willing. So they began to plead with him to depart, and when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Oh, I can't imagine. Oh, hey, if Jesus had just done this for you, delivered you. I can remember when we were saved. Oh, man. We just wanted to serve the Lord. Talk about the Lord. You find something exciting and you want to share it. And you're just hoping people will listen. And that's what you want to do. And that's where this guy is. Wow. You have done such a great thing for me. You delivered me from evil. His whole life changes. His whole life. He can be in normal society now. He can dress up. He can act normal and follow the Lord and share the gospel and just live. He's been controlled by evil and Satan, and now he's free and he can live. And he just wants to follow Jesus. So he begged him. Because Jesus got in, back in the boat and was about to go back to the other side. And he begged him, please, let me follow you and stay with you. However, Jesus did not permit him. Now, immediately we would say, aw. You ever watch a movie and you go, aw. But then the next act, ah, you know? No, you can't follow me. He did not follow me, but he says, I don't permit you to get into the boat and be with me. That's not my plan for your life. You know, I've been delivered. You know me. And Jesus says, I know you want to follow me. And you will, but in your home surroundings. That's the way it's going to be done for you. Did not permit him to go, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Evangelism begins at home and in our neighborhood of where we work, where we play, where we go to school. That's where evangelism begins. We both were saved at the same time. We started sharing the great things the Lord had done for us with our family and all. And some came to believe. Many didn't, but some did. That's where it starts. You can't forsake those that are closest to you, not saying they're going to respond, but you must share with them what you have, what God has done for you. The man was willing to leave his area, follow Jesus, but it was not the will of the Lord. He had a different mission field for the man. He loves Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. He was in a dark area. The people weren't right spiritually, but Jesus said, go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. Go home and be a personal testimony to those around you and what Jesus has done for you. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. Deliverance, salvation, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, forgiveness of sin, and a place with the Lord in heaven. He was literally in a dark place. And Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. Go where you are and tell the others about it. And so the man's going to obey. As we read the beginning of the story, how bad this guy was, we might wonder, is there any hope for this man? And is there any hope for people listening to him? He was a very bad man. But Jesus said, that's where it's going to start. They need help right here. And there is hope. And there is hope for others if he shares. But that only hope is Jesus. The man, no doubt, didn't want to let Jesus out of his sight. He probably grabbed on his leg and said, no, you're not moving unless I'm going with you. Well, Jesus is always with us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Aren't you glad we were given the Holy Spirit? He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not just going to leave you guys out alone here. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. My Spirit will be with you. He didn't want to let him go, but the Lord had a greater plan for him. He has a new life and wants to share it with others. And he said, do it right where you are. You know, maybe you're wishing, well, I wish I could be out on the mission field or over here or over there, or this kind of position in the ministry. And the Lord is saying, go home. Don't ignore those around you. Be the witness there. Live for me there. Share where you are. Some are told to go. Some are told to stay. We can't put the Lord in a box and say, here's the way it works. You get saved and then you do this. No, it's not the way it works. You listen to the voice of the Lord. New believers, old believers. A lot of people will say, well, what do I share? I don't know that I can be an evangelist. I don't know much about the Bible. Well, the cure for that is to know much about the Bible. And I haven't memorized much. I don't know what to say. Well, what did Jesus tell them to do? Verse 19. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. I believe we can all do that. No one can say, I can't share, or I can't preach the gospel. You can do this. I can do this. Sometimes we think we have to be very theological. You know, even in prayer, I've been in prayer meetings, and after the prayer meeting, someone will say, oh, I wish I could pray like you. I don't feel I can pray because I don't know, you pray so beautifully, and I wish I could pray like that. You don't want to pray like me. You want to pray like you and the Lord in you. You want to talk to the Lord with who you are. He wants communication with you. Don't worry about the words or the theology or anything else. Be the new you. And just live before the Lord and speak to the Lord and share about the Lord, what great things he's done for you. This guy was told, go and tell them how you were filled with evil spirits. You lived a horrible life. You were in darkness. You had no hope. And Jesus came along. You ran up to him. You worshiped him. You had faith in him. And he cast out the evil spirits. And you're now a new man. And you've got a new life. Tell them that. We can all do that. There's a lot of testimonies in this room right here. Personal testimony. We don't want to dwell on the past. But personal testimony is important to give especially new believers or unbelievers hope. That they know, hey, there's hope for me. And maybe you're saying, well, I haven't been able to share it because I don't know what to say. Well, just listen to this verse. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And he's had compassion on you. He loves you. And he'll always be there for you. You and I can do that. There are many testimonies we all have about the transforming power of Jesus. He makes us a new person. People need to hear about Jesus and that he loves them and has compassion on them and can forgive their sin. So we need to share with others what great things the Lord has done for us. You know, at the beginning of this chapter, there was no hope for this guy. Now, he doesn't want to let Jesus go that quick. Tell people that. The man lived in a dark area. There was work to be done where he was. We all want the glamorous work of the Lord. Oh, that'd be great, doing this or doing that. And the Lord's saying, go home, or go here, or go there. Just tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And now he has had compassion on you. What did the man do? Verse 20. He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He obeyed. Decapolis, 10 cities on the east side of the Jordan, down in that area where he was. He could just walk through that whole area. Large Greek population. An area where the people came to see, when they all came to see the multitudes, all these people came from that area to see what the Lord had done. They needed evangelism. It was dark around there. So the man did it. He stayed where he was. He went through that area, and he preached the gospel about what Jesus had done for him, and they all marveled. Now, here's an interesting note. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came through the midst of the region of where? Decapolis, same area, came back to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Now there's a change in that area. They're not asking him to leave. They're coming to him. Do you think it could have started with this one man? What if he didn't obey? He says, no, but I want to go there or go here and do this or do that, Lord. You don't understand the way I want to serve you. He just wanted to preach the gospel and what Jesus had done for him. And so he stayed in that area, and no doubt it made an impact. You, each one of us, is important. this man's witness could have played a part. Our job is just to share with people the great things the Lord has done for us and how he has had compassion on us. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We pray that as we receive communion now, that we would remember your great love and compassion for us. How much you love us, Lord. You were willing to leave heaven, lay down your life, go through the tormenting part of the cross, the separation from the Father, beatings. We pray, Lord, we will remember that through that, you were doing it for us, because at any time you could have destroyed your enemies. But love held you on that cross. Love for us, so that one day we could be a new person and then one day spend eternity with you in heaven. We thank you for your grace. We pray this morning as we receive communion, we would remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ given up for us so we could live. Lord, we want to thank you for a changed life, for hope, for deliverance, for our salvation. I don't know where we would all be today if it weren't for you. I know we wouldn't be here. We would be in a darker place. How wonderful to be here gathered with the saints. Enjoy this beautiful fellowship and this time to partake of elements that will remind us of how great you are. Let it be a very personal time for each one of us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.